This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a returning guest, and boy, do we have a lot of news to talk about. They were on the show back in May, and we're talking no other than Wealth Minerals LTD. They trade on the OTCQB, ticker symbol WMLLF. They also trade on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol WML. And with us today to bring us up to speed and up to date is the president, Tim McCutcheon. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, give my listeners, which we have a ton more listeners, give the new listeners a little bit of update what you guys are all about.
Yeah, you know, since we last spoke, what we've done is increased our position in Chile in the lithium sort of asset space. To recap, you know, Wealth Minerals about a year and a half ago decided to enter into the lithium space, and there was sort of a three-part process to that. Setting up a platform and basically getting people who are extremely well qualified to move this business idea forward. And that includes Hank Van Alphen and Marcelo Awad. And Marcelo, as I can't mention enough, he was the executive vice president of Codelco for almost two decades. And then almost two decades, he was the CEO of Antofagasta, which is a multi-billion dollar copper miner. He is placed better than anyone else really in the Chilean mining industry to make sure that Wealth's interests are heard and taken into account and advanced. So that platform was put together with those two gentlemen, then I came on a little bit later, and we have a whole crew of specialists that we have on contracts to help us move things forward. Then it was about basically acquiring assets. And what we did is we looked at the landscape, looked at all of the available data, and started picking up assets. And the crown jewel that we have is really a 46,000 hectare position in the Atacama Salar. For those of you who don't know about lithium, two sources of lithium from brines and from hard rock. We're really only focused on brines, which are by far the lowest cost, easiest to exploit lithium resources in the world. Roughly about 50% of global resource and about 50% of production. One third of global production of lithium comes from the Atacama Salar, which is basically a big dried salt lake bed. And we have an enormous position within that salar, which is the dried lake seabed. So that's our core asset. It's that area is the highest grade, lowest cost production asset in the world. And we're right next to two production facilities that represent, as I mentioned, one third of global production. But since then, you know, since we last spoke in May, we've actually increased our land position in Chile because we really feel that Chile is going to be the Saudi Arabia of lithium. The resources are there. The jurisdiction is stable. It's mining friendly. And most importantly, you have people within the government in Chile that very much have this vision of Chile becoming the major player in this paradigm shift in the energy market. So, you know, Chile is the place you want to be, in my opinion. And so what we've done is increased our land position. We did a acquisition, something called the Five Solars Project, and that's basically five licenses throughout the country in various different salt lake beds or solars. And that will give us a seat at the front table for consolidation that will happen in the industry and is happening right now. So we have licenses throughout various lithium assets throughout Chile, where our neighbors include such companies as Freeport-McMoRan, BHP, SQM, and Codelco. So, you know, we have pretty high-powered neighbors. And like I mentioned before, the consolidation of this industry is happening, and I think it's going to do nothing but accelerate going forward. And even more exciting, though, is our most recent acquisition of a 24.5% stake in the Seven Solars project. And what makes that really, really cool is that our joint venture partner in that project is Talison. And Talison is the world's largest lithium producer. So we have a little less than a quarter of that, a little more than a quarter is owned by a local Chilean group of businessmen, and then Talison owns 50%. The core asset in that is a project called the Salar de la Isla. And it's been extensively drilled and surface tested. There's a whole lot of data on it, and it's all public information. And what's exciting is all of that data came out with a fairly large salar, on par with the Maricunga, for example, with grades over 800 parts per million. So to give you an idea of sort of grade, you know, the highest grade salars that are in production right now, which happens to be Argentina, are around 700, you know, 750 ppm. That would be the highest sort of extent of the parts per million. So 700 parts per million of lithium within water. Salar de la Isla, we're talking north of 800 parts per million. But of course, the granddaddy of them all is Salar de Atacama, which is at 1,800 parts per million. And that's part of the reason why lithium from Atacama is the lowest cost lithium in the world. But that's a total outlier, and we're excited about that asset. But again, even 800 parts per million is much better, really, than any other asset out there, with the exclusion of Atacama. So we're excited about all this, and plus the fact that we're partners with Talison. So that gives you a little bit of a background of sort of where we are now. You know, the market reception has been tremendous. We're trading at just south of $2 a share. The company has really ramped up its effort within the country, doing geophysical survey work and targeting places to do our drilling, hopefully in the near future as we get those rigs mobilized. In Chile, for example, you know, the winter is the summer and the summer is the winter, so the best time to drill really is, you know, our winter. And so we're looking forward going into December, January, February to get the drill rigs on sites to start putting some holes into these salars.
I was doing some research on your company. I was telling a couple of my listeners last week that you guys are going to be coming on the show this week, and we've got some emails. One of them wanted for you to talk about the proceeds and what you're going to do with the money, the $3.8 million, and when do you think that revenues will fall on the balance sheet?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the $3.8 million essentially is just part of our regular corporate development. So it's money in the ground in terms of paying for and funding all the geophysical activity that we're doing right now. We did some work on Laguna Verde, which is one of our projects, and that was press released earlier in the year, and your viewers can look at that on our website. As soon as we can get the final report on the work that we're doing now, we'll press release that as well, and so your viewers will have a, you know, some really nice hard data about what we were able to find in terms of the potential for lithium-bearing brines in all of our salars, and the targets of where we're going to drill. And then the other part of this, of course, is funding the efforts of the company to work together with strategics. I mean, you know, again, one of the things that I think, you know, we've talked about in the past is there is an ongoing shift in the way energy is used and consumed and stored in the world today. Lithium doesn't replace hydrocarbons. It just makes hydrocarbons more efficient. It makes hydrocarbons, you know, basically it opens up a lot of possibilities for how energy is stored and consumed. Lithium's at the forefront of that. The key thing, though, is so much of this is focused on the technology, that the technology people are under the assumption that commodities are available, and they're not. it's just a function of, I mean, I know the background of these people. You know, they're the smartest people in your school, and they go to McKinsey and these other, you know, high profile consultancies, and then they go into industry. But they have been taught, and up until now, it's been pretty much true that you have a supply demand curve, you know, in economics, and commodities are available at any price. And in the long term, that's true, but in the short to medium term, it's most certainly not. And so, you know, I started this conversation talking about the proceeds of the money. Well, what we're doing is doing a lot of outreach to just about, you know, everyone who's strategic, whether it be an off-taker, whether it be a potential mining partner, because increasingly people are starting to figure out that all of these plans for electric cars and gigafactories and everything else, they're all going to run up against the reality of a short-term deficit of supply. And we hope to basically leverage that as much as possible to get the value out. So when that translates into revenue, you know, the lowest hanging fruit in terms of actually going into production and generating revenue would be Salar de la Isla. And that requires us to sit down with Talison and move the thing forward. So When that'll happen, we're hoping that it could happen in the next 24 to 36 months. But there's a lot of moving parts here. I think in the meantime, though, the most interesting thing is this: the strategic positioning going on in the sector is really gaining steam, and that's something that, if you're thinking about a catalyst event for the company, that's probably going to be first.
On current trends and the events in the lithium market, can you talk about what the price is, how's its measure? Educate us a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things about any sort of industrial metal is that, for the most part, whatever you see on your computer screen really isn't the price, or certainly not the price that most of the volume is sold at. It's the marginal price. So, frankly, we simply don't know what the vast majority of lithium is selling at, because it's private contracts between off-takers and the producers. But the marginal price certainly impacts the next contracts that come out. And so since, we're in the process of developing our properties, certainly the price you see on your screen is a vector that shows where prices are going. But the actual volume traded at that price is quite low. The significance of that, so your readers understand how this works, is that because lithium is an industrial metal that gets locked into long-term contracts with off-takers because they want to make sure they have supply when they have their battery factory going, right? Is that the real sweet spot for industrial metal resource companies is earlier rather than later. If you're a gold miner, for example, you can basically get your revenue by selling into the open market. There's a very deep liquid market that will buy gold. That's not the case with lithium. There's a very limited amount of people who actually want to buy lithium to use it. And so once those prices get locked in, you're essentially turning the asset into a utility, right? So the sweet spot for anything, particularly lithium producers, is actually earlier on in the development cycle. Because by the time you wait for the feasibility study and everything's all locked in and starting to be financed, it's kind of over, right, in a way, because you've basically locked in the top line in order to get the financing to work. So that's why I'm so excited about Wealth, because we're at the sweet spot right now for this type of an asset, which is, really playing up the fact that there is a supply shortage in the near to medium term, and we'll be able to essentially dictate and have a pricing power with strategics, because, as we mentioned before, every single solar in the world is visible from outer space. No one's ever going to find a new one. So you have a very limited resource and increasing demand, right? So we have pricing power in a way that most commodities don't. And that's what's so exciting about Wealth right now.
The company that we're highlighting today is Wealth Minerals LTD. They trade on the OTCQB, ticker symbol WMLLF. They also trade on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture, ticker symbol WML. What's on the horizon for Wealth, and what do you see in the future?
Going forward, we're going to have news flow coming out regarding our geophysical work that we've been doing, regarding our negotiations and discussions with our various partners, including Talison, for example, on the Seven Solars project, including domestic partners in Chile who are going to help us develop these assets. So there's been quite a bit of intensive work done since spring and early summer of this year, and now it's all sort of coming to fruition. And so I would say in the next 3 to 6 months, you're going to get a flurry of activity regarding Wealth Minerals and positioning the company, both from asset development point of view, as well as a corporate development point of view. So that's in the first 3 to 6 months. And then in longer term, day after day after day, you look on your computer screen and you see Volkswagen going to all electric, Volvo going to all electric, China taking the whole country to all electric cars, Germany thinking of banning internal combustion, right? So it's every single day. And that's wonderful news, except when you actually look at the lithium industry and you look at, basically the degree of development of the pipeline of projects globally, you see a huge gap in the next 3 to 4 years. There's late stage stuff that's already in production, and there are people who are trying to ramp up that production as they can. And then you have some early stage projects that are very promising, that we have the data to that shows that these projects have a lot of potential to fill the supply gap. But what you don't have is a whole projects, you know, in pre-feasibility study stage that are going to supply the market in the next, you know, 3 years or so. Those, they're not there at all. And that's what's so exciting, is that when Wealth Minerals starts, you know, really kicking in the development, we're going to be hitting this soft spot in the market where there'll be a whole lot of increasing demand coming to market, and yet the supply won't be moving because of this gap in the development pipeline globally.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you for coming on the show. In closing, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch upon that you would like to get out there to the listeners?
Yeah, all I can say is, you know, the wealth management team has been working very hard. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. It's very frustrating when you're a public company. There's you have to, you know, manage the company in accordance with rules and regulations, and that's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is that the investor public doesn't see the day-to-day sort of, you know, churning of the wheels and everything else that are going on. But there is quite a bit going on, and in Chile, I think the key thing your readers want to look at is just keep an eye on Chile and the macro environment there. There is a huge push in Chile to move it towards a more open, less regulated mining space, in particular regarding lithium. And as that happens, I think it's going to make people's heads spin. And we're the biggest owner of these assets in Chile to begin with.
I want to thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully you'll come back in 40 or 50 days, give us an update of what's going on with the company, and I wish you nothing but continued success.
Thank you. Thanks for the kind words.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.